Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. Your bulletins will say verses 7 through 14, but today we will focus on verses 7 through 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have as believers to open your word and have understanding of your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the great privilege that we have of having this word revealed to us in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, this afternoon as we consider these verses that you will give us this understanding, that you will empower us, not just to read it and understand it, but to believe it and to be encouraged by your word. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith. Help us, Lord, to grow in the understanding of this great plan that you have for creation, in which you have included us by your grace and by your mercy. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're continuing in this long sentence that started last week. The long sentence is chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, 12 verses. It is not a paragraph in Greek, but it's a long sentence that in which Paul focuses in two main things. One is to praise God, to bless God, but also to tell us about the blessings that we have received as believers, as followers of Christ. He started the long sentence saying, "Blessed be the God of our Father, blessed be our God and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he closes the sentence with the word that you find in verse 14 that says, "To the praise of his glory." So it's all about praising God. But through all these verses, what Paul does is to describe these wonderful blessings that we have received as Christians. What we saw last week is that these are spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are spiritual blessings because they are given to us in the spiritual realm or fear of life. If we would like to understand it a little bit more, is as we compare the spiritual blessings with the physical or material blessings, is us to say that material blessings are blessings that perish, like food and clothing. But spiritual blessings are blessings that are eternal, that will last forever, for eternity, like salvation, redemption, sanctification, and glorification. Are things that God has given to us that will last for all eternity. Therefore, you could say that spiritual blessings are greater than material blessings in life. Though material blessings are also given to us by God in order to help us to experience the spiritual blessings of God. How so? In the way that God provides to us, he reminds us of his love and care. He grows our faith. But in the way also as we lack things in life and we experience sufferings, he's also growing our faith and our understanding of his care and love for us. Therefore, at the end of the day, material or physical or spiritual blessings are gifts from God to strengthen our faith. And last week, we looked at two of these spiritual blessings that Paul described here. One was that he chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He chose us before anything that existed to be holy and blameless, and all this in Christ Jesus. And the second spiritual blessing that we saw last week is that he predestined us for adoption. And this is also given to us in Christ or through Christ. So the main thing that you are going to see throughout all these verses is that everything is in Christ and through Christ. Before anything that existed, God thought on us to bring us together in union with Christ to give us these wonderful spiritual blessings. And today we're going to look at two of these spiritual blessings that Paul described here in verses 7 through 10. These two are redemption and revelation. And God's willing, next week we'll continue seeing from verses 11 through 14 two more spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Now, one thing that you could look at throughout these verses as an outline of the text is that verses 3 to 6 talk about the work of God the Father for us. Verses 7 through 10 talk about the work of Christ for us. And verses 11 through 14 talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. So you see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit investing in our salvation, giving us these wonderful spiritual blessings. So today, again, we're talking about these two spiritual blessings that we see from these verses, verses 7 through 10, redemption and revelation. So let's start with redemption. First of all, this is a word that is so important for us as believers, but sometimes we avoid the word and we go by easier words to talk about salvation and the love of God. And probably it's because the meaning of this word might be a little bit complicated and includes a lot of things that are from God's word. But basically, in simple words, redemption is to be set free by payment or ransom. Redemption is to be set free by payment or ransom. And there are three words in Greek that goes through the New Testament that describe this word. One word is the word agorazo. This word comes from the noun agora. And you might be familiar with this word because this is the place where Paul used to go to discuss and share the gospel. The agora was the marketplace. So agorazo basically is being bought in a marketplace. And you see this word as translated for redemption throughout the New Testament. The second word is a variation of this word. It's the word etzagorazo. Etzagorazo. The word etza means out of. So etzagorazo is to be bought out of a marketplace. And the difference that this gives between etzagorazo and agorazo is that when somebody was bought out of a marketplace, was bought not to be returned there anymore. Now, if we think about the secular world, if somebody will buy a slave, if that person wasn't pleased with the service of this slave, that person could sell the slave to another person. But for us as Christians, this word means, etzagorazo, is that Christ bought us and he's never going to return us or to sell us to anybody. Therefore, our salvation is secure in Christ. The other word, which is the word that we have here for redemption in verse 7, in him we have redemption, is the word apulotrosis. And this word means to be set free or delivered by payment. To be set free or delivered by payment. When a person or a master will go and buy a slave, he will buy the slave to make him his slave. But Jesus bought us to set us free. That was Jesus' work when he paid with his blood. It says, in him, in Christ, in union with Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses is to set us free. Now, there are three aspects of redemption in our life as believers. One is that through the redemption that happens through Christ, Christ set us free from the wrath of God. Christ set us free from the wrath of God. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying the desires of this body in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Any human being that is born or has been born or will be born in this earth is a child of wrath just by the fact that we are disobedient to God and therefore deserving the wrath of God. There is no way that we can relate to God who is holy unless we are holy. Therefore, anybody who is born on this earth is a children or is a child of wrath. Now, Paul says here in verse 7 that in him, in Christ, in our union with Christ, we have redemption, we have the payment that set us free through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Our debt with God is our sin. We are debtors to him because we have broken his law. You can find, for example, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, a passage that describes this very well. He says like this, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the incircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." Within again is in union with Christ. God made us alive when we were dead in our sins, in our trespasses, and says, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Basically, when God paid through Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, what he does is he forgives our debt. Verse 14 says, by canceling the record of your debt, of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. And how does he do that? He does that. He says, this is set aside, nailed on the cross. So when Christ went to the cross and died there and he was nailed, he was paying with his blood, with his own life, the record that stood against us, the record that make us children of wrath. Also, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ came to the world for that very purpose. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for as a ransom for many." Christ dead on the cross was not God's plan B for humanity. It wasn't that God created us and we messed up the world and therefore God had to come up with a plan to save us. Remember that before everything was created, before the foundation of the world, God had already chosen us and predestined us for adoption and to be holy and blameless. It means that before everything was created, before the fall, God had already the plan to send his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the ransom for our salvation. It was an eternal plan for our salvation. We can see that also described in Romans 3:23-26. You can come to me later and ask me for these references if you have interest in looking at them afterwards. Paul says like this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace. We are declared as just, not on the basis of our works, but on the basis of God's mercy. Grace is an undeserved gift from God. As a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Remember, redemption through the payment of Christ on the cross, the ransom through his blood. This is how we are declared as just before God, whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood. Propitiation is that offering that appeases God's wrath in order to set us free from condemnation. Now, this is important what Paul says here in verse 26. He says, it was to show his righteousness. God's forgiveness of sin is not simply that we come to him and we say, we're sorry, and therefore God says, okay, I'm a loving God and I just forgive you. Because if he will do that, he will not be just and righteous. It was to show his righteousness at the present time. It is because to be just, as he says, so that he might be just and justifier, somebody had to pay on the cross. Therefore, God's forgiveness to us as Christians had a price. He remained just because Christ went to the cross and received his wrath, the punishment that we deserved. But at the same time, he became the justifier, the one who declared us just, the one who opens the ways for us. God saved us from himself. God saved us from his own wrath. Through whom? Through the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, he also delivered us. And this is the other aspect. One was that he delivered us from the wrath of God. He delivered us from lawlessness. He delivered us from this slavery to sin as well. For example, Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says like this, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. To redeem us from all lawlessness. And to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It is through the redemption of Christ, through the work of redemption of Christ, that we are also set free from the slavery of sin. We can continue seeing that, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with his precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Delivering us from what? From the futile ways, from the way we used to live. A passage that we looked at last week, which describes this, is a wonderful promise from the Old Testament that was given to us, that is delivered to us, is what we find in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 27. He says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status, and be careful to obey my rules. So in our regeneration, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, this gift that comes from God, that is promised in the Old Testament, besides receiving the gift of faith, to put our faith in Christ and therefore to be declared as just, also the Holy Spirit empower us to do that, to do what? To cause us to walk in his status. This is why it is possible for us to walk in a path of sanctification in this life. It is because, not because we are left on our own to deal with sin, but God has empowered us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to obey his law. We continue to sin, it's true. But the Holy Spirit is in us, revealing to us sin, making it clear to us that therefore we could walk, says, in the status of God. So something happened in the past. In redemption, we were set free from the wrath of God, but in the present, we continue to be redeemed daily through the work of the Holy Spirit that is sanctifying us. And third, we are also redeemed in the future. We will be redeemed from a futile body. Romans 8 22 through 32 says like this, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions of sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we were set free from the wrath of God. We are set free from the lawlessness of our own lives, and we have this wonderful promise that one day we will be set free from the futility of our bodies, from the brokenness of our bodies, where there will be no more cancer, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. We look forward to that, and not just us, but look what Paul says here, is the whole creation is looking forward to that wonderful moment when we will be redeemed. Our bodies will be redeemed. And this is actually to be glorified. Verses 29 through 30 says like this, for those whom he foreknew, And you can go down to the end of verse 30. It says, he also glorified. But you know that in between this, he predestined, he called, he justified. Therefore, the promise is that as we are redeemed, is that one day our bodies, we will also be redeemed. And I know that we all look forward to that moment for ourselves. And we also think about those around us that suffer in their physical bodies. They look forward as we look forward to that moment when our bodies, we will also be redeemed. Now, you see, this is God's spiritual blessing for us. What a wonderful blessing. We have been redeemed through the blood, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody could have paid or make that payment to God. Nobody in the world could have done that for us. Just Jesus, who is perfect, who paid with his own life so that we could be set free from the wrath of God, so that we could be set free from the lawlessness of our lives, and so that we could have that promise that one day we will be set free from the futility or from the brokenness of our bodies. Now, the second revelation or the second blessing, spiritual blessing that we have here in these verses is revelation. It's revelation. Look what he says. Says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. He says, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will. The mysteries of his will. You know that you are privileged. So just by the fact that you are here and you have understanding of spiritual things, because spiritual things can be only understood through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they have been revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we look at the word mystery in biblical context, refers to something that was hidden in the past and is now revealed. Now, if you look at chapter 3, verses 3 to 6 of Ephesians, it will talk about the fact that Gentiles are engrafted or united or made part of the body of Christ. That's the mystery that we find in Ephesians 3, verses 3 to 6, and you find in other parts of the scriptures. But this is actually pointing to a greater revelation, to a greater mystery that is being revealed to us in these verses. It says like this, to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which is to set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, which is when God has appointed this to happen. He says, to unite all things in him. So the mystery that Paul is talking about here is actually to unite all things in Christ. Remember, in Christ refers always to union with Christ. It's to unite all things in Christ. This word unite is a very interesting word. Comes from the Greek anakephaleo. Anakephaleo. And actually it's very interesting because when you look at these two words, ana and kephaleo, and you divide and you realize that ana means actually again. We don't have that translated in our Bibles. We just see so only to unite. But actually the word, this could be translated to unite again. But to unite, what? To unite kephaleo means to bring all things together. Kephaleo also comes from the Greek kephaleo, which means head. You'll find this later in 1:20 when God is talking about Christ being the head of the church. So in other words, when he's talking about uniting all things, in him is reuniting, is submitting all things under the authority and the power of Christ. I think that you could easily think about in your mind on a beautiful text that you have in Philippians 2:19 through through 11, that says like this: therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the mystery is that one day all things will be submitted to our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, these all things is ta panta, which means the universe. The whole universe will be under the authority of our Lord Jesus. What is the blessing that we have there? The blessing is that God in his mercy has revealed this to us. Think about how disappointed and discouraged are many people around the world these days. When they look around, they think about COVID, or they think about all the turmoil that are in different areas of life, and they see no hope for the future. But God has revealed to us that one day, that the mystery has revealed to us that one day all things will be under the subjection of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority, under the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is to what we are walking to as believers. And Romans 8:18-22 says like this: for the creation was subjected to futility, the whole creation, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The whole creation is looking forward to this wonderful moment. Lloyd-Jones will put it like this: the perfect harmony that will be restored will be harmony in man and between men, harmony on the earth and in the brute creation, harmony in heaven and all under this blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the head of all. Everything will again be united in him. And wonder of wonders, marvelous beyond compare, when all this happens, it will never be undone again. It will be reunited in him to all eternity. That is the message. That is God's plan. That is the mystery which has been revealed unto us. These things are so marvelous that you will never hear anything greater, either in this world or the world to come. James Boyce will put it like this: everything was together in Jesus once. Through the fall, ceases to be. But it is reunited in him again by redemption. What a wonderful spiritual blessing is revealed to us in these verses. Through that redemption that Christ accomplished on the cross, we have hope today and we have hope for eternity. John Stott describes the vision of the Apostle Paul, and I like to read this quote to you because I think that we should aim to have a similar vision. He says, as for us, how blinkered is our vision in comparison with his, with the Apostle Paul's vision. How small is our mind? How narrow is our horizons? Easily and naturally we slip into preoccupation with our own pretty little affairs. But we need to see time in the light of eternity, and our present privilege and obligations in light of our past election and future perfection. Then, if we share the apostle's perspective, we will also share his praise. For doctrine leads to doxology as well as to duty. Life will become worship, and we will bless God constantly for having blessed us so richly in Christ. Remember, this whole sentence is about Paul praising, blessing God for his spiritual blessings. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to consider these blessings that Christ has given to us. And this will move our hearts to worship him. Good theology results in good doxology. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you choose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless, that you predestine us in Christ to be adopted by you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life, and through your blood we have been redeemed. We have been set free from the wrath of God. We are being set free from lawlessness, and we will be one day glorified. Help us, Lord, to set our eyes and our vision in this wonderful plan that you have for creation, that all things will be under your feet, that every knee will bow down before you, that whatever we see around us today is not the end, that we look forward to that wonderful great day when we will be able to see you face to face. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.